Teaching English Radio, brought to you by the British Council.
A radio series for teachers of English.
Welcome to the programme. I'm Sarah Bradshaw and I've worked as a teacher and trainer, both in the classroom and on the radio. As usual, we'll meet teachers from around the world, sharing their ideas and suggestions. Our focus is on large classrooms where books and resources may be limited, but teachers work hard to make their lessons effective. Our topic is introducing vocabulary. Last time we listened to a classroom where teacher Eka was teaching vocabulary on the theme of the weather. Well, here in my studio anyway, it's at least dry and warm. Today we continue with a discussion of how to teach students new words. We learnt last time what knowing a word really means.
So knowing a word means how to spell it, how to pronounce it, and how to use it correctly in a sentence.
That was Dina, who teaches in India. And another teacher, Dini, reminds us that words don't exist in isolation. So she introduces new vocabulary in chunks.
When I introduce new vocabulary, I encourage them to use chunks. So if I want to teach bus, I'll ask them to put the sentence into chunks. And for example, get onto the bus, get off the bus, things like that.
It is vital students get to know what friends a word has.
In my class, I use, can this word be this word's best friend? Can they live together? Can it be a family? And then my students begin to say, I don't think so, or I think so, you know, that kind of way.
Marla, who teaches in India. It takes time to build a good knowledge of vocabulary. It's very important to teach and practice new words in real contexts. And we need to give students lots of exposure to stories, dialogues, and simple conversations so that they will gradually notice how words are used.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How are you today?
We are fine, thank you.
Let's go back to basics now and hear about some of the many different ways to introduce and illustrate new words. The most boring way is probably to say open your book at page 25. So here is teacher Silso on his way into class in Mozambique.
I have got beetroots, cassava, orange, banana, apples, real vegetables.
Using real objects, often called realia, can be very stimulating and make our lessons fun and memorable.
What's this?
Cassava.
Come on, one person. Stop, come on.
Cassava.
Repeat.
Cassava.
All right, cassava. Cassava. Hey? When a teacher brings real objects, it helps for the students' understanding. All right, they see the real things. It's less time-consuming for teaching vocabulary.
An idea like this is really effective, and it doesn't rely on any high-tech resources. Teachers or their students can help by bringing in objects, books, and pictures to create materials for bringing lessons to life. Teachers can draw pictures on a board, on paper, on cards, or bring in photographs cut out from magazines. It's great, for example, if you can make little flashcards to help students practice words, or with their help, decorate the whole classroom with words and images. Many teachers are very good actors, and another useful method of illustrating meaning is to pull faces, use gestures or actions, and get your students to do the same. They'll love it. Here's Shuria to explain.
I mean, use of gesture is very important, and doing words like running, jumping, jogging, difference between running and jogging, walking, standing still, standing, quiet. So all these words can be easily communicated with a simple gesture without too much of an effort. So try and use as much gestures as possible along with the words so that student can relate to it.
Now let's move from India to a class in South Africa.
I look in the mirror.
I look in the mirror.
What do I see?
What do I see?
I see myself.
I see myself.
Looking back at me.
Looking back at me.
I see two eyes.
I see two eyes.
Big and round.
At beginner levels, we might use simple songs, rhymes and chants to introduce new words and phrases, involving lots of repetition. Children love moving around and doing things. The physical movements help make words and sounds more memorable.
You're listening to Teaching English Radio, brought to you by the British Council.
Today, our subject is teaching vocabulary. If you joined us the last time, you heard teacher Eke in her classroom in Indonesia. She devoted a whole lesson to introducing and practicing language related to the weather. Let me remind you.
Ta-da! Rain? Okay, rain. This is rain. Good. So, yes, the weather is?
Rainy.
Okay, once again, rainy.
Rainy.
Okay, very good.
Eka's class started with the teacher eliciting and teaching some key words. They went through lots of different stages, including a game and pair work, and later they looked at materials in their textbooks that included some of the new weather vocabulary. Finally, they wrote some personal sentences using the new words.
When it's sunny, I like swimming.
When it's snowy, I like making snowmen.
Safaria.
When it's windy, I like wearing a jacket.
Okay, good.
So we've heard many different ways that teachers first illustrate the meanings of words and phrases, often with lower level classes and younger students. If you haven't used these approaches, then why not try them out? With more advanced students, many teachers actually start with a text and use that as a springboard. The vocabulary comes from a topic. We invite them to collaborate, to share ideas, to do a bit of research and use their dictionaries.
Something really important and motivating for our students is that we teach the language in context.
This is Oscar in Colombia, who chooses texts which his students wish to study and explore.
It's through content, through a story, through a poem, through a song, through something that the students are motivated to know. It's mainly because learners will have like a reason to communicate. It's not only learning like the grammar and that's it.
We asked Oscar to give us an example.
Let's say that your students are interested in knowing about another country. Then you just bring the information and you explore the texts in different ways so that students are interested in the content and then they can grasp the vocabulary and the pronunciation through exploring that specific topic.
Oscar on presenting vocabulary in a context that is interesting for his students. What happens when students ask about meaning? Obviously, we encourage them to look at the context and to use dictionaries if they're available. But should the entire lesson be conducted in English? What do you think? As we've heard, there are a range of different ways to explain unfamiliar words, but sometimes teachers find it easier to do a quick translation. Here's Anuja.
The word alligator, a student coming from a remote village may not be very much acquainted with the word alligator. As a teacher, you may not have the picture at hand also. So if I use the word from a local language, that saves time for the teacher and that makes the process easy also. We can use sometimes, at least sometimes, as a resource, the language one, that is their mother tongue.
Anuja's students in India all speak the same local language, so she occasionally uses their mother tongue to explain a common noun, as it's quick and easy, or sometimes for more abstract ideas that are really difficult to illustrate. But she believes that it's important to go back to using English as quickly as possible.
Teaching English Radio, brought to you by the British Council.
We can't leave this topic without thinking about how to make sure students will remember new words and expressions. With a well-designed syllabus and textbook, there will, hopefully, be lots of built-in recycling, repeating of the vocabulary, so students become familiar with the words. But often, that's not the case. So it's up to us, the teachers. So plan for revision activities as you go along and share your best ideas with your colleagues. Here is just one example from Kai in Kazakhstan.
There's one activity which doesn't really require any resources, and it's called a word box. It's good for revising the vocabulary you have just studied. Teacher picks up all the words from the vocabulary and put it in a box, and then students are invited to pick one, and they don't show the word that they have. They don't show it to the other students, and they try to explain it, and the others just have to guess about the word, and the student has to describe it.
I would always encourage students to keep a vocabulary book where they collect new words and learn them. They shouldn't just write down single words, but put them in sentences which show how they're used. Remember those chunks? And Marla gets her students to create a word wall at home. They do this using all the words they want to learn. She gives them sticky notes, those little coloured notes that stick to things.
What I have a practice with my students is they have created their own word walls in their home. They have the sticky notes, and they get one set of sticky notes at the beginning of each term. They bring me photographs of their word walls, which they're very proud of. They stand beside the word wall, sticky notes with these words on their cupboard or on their wall or the kitchen or wherever, whatever little space they have. They're going to keep these, and once it is done, they stick it into a file. But till then, it is on the wall.
Marla and her wall of words. It's time to go over some of the points we heard in today's programme about teaching vocabulary. What did the teachers tell us? First, the basics. As well as the meaning of words, learners need to remember the sounds of words, the spelling, and of course, how and when to use them. We've heard it's very important to teach and practice new words in short phrases or chunks. Give students lots of exposure to the new words. This will help them to remember and use them appropriately. Ideas to illustrate meaning include real objects, pictures, drawings, flashcards, gestures and actions, and songs. Decorate your classroom with images and words. To encourage more independence, get advanced students to read about a topic and discuss the possible meaning of unfamiliar words and expressions. Don't let your students forget the words and get them to keep a vocabulary book. Plan ahead with activities to recycle the new vocabulary. There are many great revision activities and we'll hear more about them in other programmes. I hope you've enjoyed today's programme from the British Council. Thank you to all those teachers who made suggestions for this topic, and join us again next time. Till then, from me, Sarah Bradshaw, goodbye.